You know, the devil is like a flea. He jumps from one place to another. And I tell you, you know, before you come into sanctuary, I tell you, I say, enter into his gates with thanksgiving, into his courts with praise. And all you got to do is obey that, and you don't have any problem. If you come into that doorway with a heart of thanksgiving, you come into these courts with a heart of praise, you'll have no problem because your mind is on Jesus. It's loving Jesus. It's thinking the right things. It's got the right attitude. And you don't have any problem. If you come in with jealousy, resentment, hatred, malice, that's the devils and demons. And I may not do like Brother Branham has done some of them, whereas he's called them out and stood them on his platform and made them a public example, like Brother David Terrell has also done. Some of the others, I may not do it that way because I don't want to hurt you. But I will if I have to. If that's the only way I can deal with it, that's the way I'll do it. All right, I've read this scripture a number of times, but I feel like that I ought to read it this morning. It's 1 Corinthians, the 10th chapter, dear. You know, the desire of the minister is to come in and be a blessing to you. Like Brother Jim was telling me, Brother Jimmy Smith was telling me, he gets up and leads singing for us and helps us out in the tent and here at the work as well as laboring continually in here doing the books and tracts and things. He does such an excellent job. But he was telling me, he said, Brother Pike, he said, you know, when I'm up there before that congregation, that I can just tell there's all kind of spirits and frames of mind there, as he put it. And said, and it really bothers you. So I can just tell different ones singing different things. He said, it really bothers you. And he said, I know it really must bother you in that you know what they're thinking. And it's true. So many times I know what you're thinking, and it really does bother me. But it bothers you if you don't know what they're thinking, if you just have enough discernment to pick up that evil spirit, you know. You might not have enough discernment to know who it is. Whereas I'm grateful that the Lord shows me who it is, but you might not have enough discernment to pick up who it is, or you might not have enough discernment to know what they're thinking. But still, if you have enough discernment just to pick it up in the audience, it'll still wrestle with you and cut across you and cause you problems. All right, in the first book of 1 Corinthians, the 10th chapter, beginning down at the first verse. Now, I love you. I don't want to hurt you. And all I got to do is just get rid of the spirits. And Brother Pike, don't have anything personal with you at all. When you, I had a man that come to me yesterday. The man didn't know it. He didn't know it, but he's really been cutting across me and causing me problems. And I went to God about him night before last. I've been on for a number of years now, and I put up with him. So night before last, I went to God about him. I said, Lord, I want something done now. And immediately that man the next day come and confessed his sins and his wrongs and began to talk to me, and he wanted forgiveness and wanted to do right. Immediately, yesterday. But see, he didn't know that I had already turned him over to God that night before. He got in just in time. So it really, you know, we want to be long-suffering. We want to be merciful because I want to be that way to you because I want God to be that way to me. The Bible said the merciful shall obtain mercy. But when I get up here, it's a different situation. Out there, I might just go on and on and on and may not ever even raise my voice at you. Because when I get out there, I'm just in that frame of mind. You know, I'm just associating with you and we're just brotherhood. But I get up here, there's something happens to me. And there's a whole world of difference. Then that's altogether different. Many times that is God then. And that makes all the difference in the world. And he talks different. He acts different. So then in the 10th chapter of the 1 Corinthians, first verse says, moreover, brethren, I would not that ye should be ignorant. Now I want you to notice this especially. Paul starts off by saying, I don't want you ignorant. You know, you tell somebody, you say, brother, you're ignorant, or I don't want you ignorant, and somebody will say, well, who does he think he is? Paul the Apostle, who do you think you are? Somebody would say, well, Brother Pike, I could receive that from Paul, but in his day they couldn't. In his day they felt by him just like some of you feel by me. You read the Bible carefully, and you'll see that they treated him just exactly the way they treat the ministers today. Had no respect for him. But nevertheless, Paul said, I would not have you ignorant. I don't want my brothers ignorant. I don't want you ignorant. Now, you say, Brother Pike, you mean to tell me God's going to call us ignorant? All of us are ignorant in His sight. At our very best, we're just a bunch of ignorant people. But Paul said, I would not have you ignorant. Now, what is he talking about, I would not have you ignorant? What does he mean, I would not have you ignorant? What is he trying to get at? He is trying to get over a thought here to the people. See, he is trying to express a point to the people here. I would not have you ignorant. Now, I would not have you ignorant how that all our fathers were under the cloud. Now, this is the thing he would not have us ignorant in, and that is that all of the people are under grace. All of the people are under grace. That is because of the shed blood of Calvary, all of them under grace. Now, all of them are under grace. I would not have you ignorant that all of them were under the cloud. They were under the Spirit of God. I will pour out of my Spirit, which is grace, in the last days. All of them were under the cloud. But now look what he has to say about it. Moreover, brethren, I would not that ye should be ignorant how that all our fathers were under the cloud, and all passed through the sea. That is, they were baptized under Moses. And were all baptized unto Moses in the cloud and in the sea, and did all eat the same spiritual meat, and did all drink the same spiritual drink. For they drank of that spiritual rock that followed them, and that rock was Christ. But with many of them God was not well pleased, for they were overthrown in the wilderness. Now, you see, in these things here, a lot of times I get up here and I say things to the audience or the congregation, and you think, well, Brother Pike, you're not very well pleased. You know, you think, well, Brother Pike, you're not pleased. You come here week after week, and you say things to us. But brethren, let me tell you, do you think that God Almighty can come to Bethlehem night after night before you up here and never say anything to you? Do you think that you're living that kind of life? Do you think that you're in that kind of condition that God, with these people that was as diligent as they was and fasted the way that they fasted and left their homes and everything else to follow Him, and He rebuked them? And when the Bible said that His angels are not clean in His sight, that He even charged His angels with folly, and we here at Bethlehem have the feeling that God doesn't find any fault with us? Are we such a people as to believe such a thing as that? You can be sure of one thing, that as long as God is a man of God up here, He's going to find some fault out there, and He's going to preach to you. All right, so then it says here, he says, but with many of them God was not well pleased, for they were overthrown in the wilderness. Now, when we say wilderness, what are we referring to? The carnal mind, the intellectual mind. In our day, you get overthrown in your own human reasoning. You get to reasoning things out and deciding what you want to do and how that a thing ought to be, rather than going to God and asking God to give you the insight or God to tell you how that the thing ought to be. So you get caught in that intellectual wilderness, and you never get across that old mind called Jordan that swallows you up, that started with Adam and Eve in the garden there, whereas the Bible said to be carnally minded is death. Now, listen real close now. You say, well, Brother Pike, all of those things had to do with Israel, and Israel is gone. We are those that are under the grace of God, and these things don't pertain to us. Why then does he go on to say, now these things were our example, to the intent we should not lust after evil things as they also lusted, neither be idolaters, as were some of them, as it is written, the people sat down to eat and drink and rose up to play. Neither let us commit fornication, as some of them committed, and fell in one day 23,000. Neither let us tempt Christ, as some of them also tempted, and were destroyed of serpents. Neither murmur ye, as some of them also murmured, and was destroyed of the destroyer. Now see, the Lord diligently points out here that serpents took hold of some of them, which has to do with the evil spirits, that the evil spirits get some of you. Some of you get carried away by the evil spirit, the seducing spirits. They get some of you. Then it says here, it speaks of the earth literally opening up and swallowing you up. Whereas it indicates that some of you, The flesh itself swallows you up. The lust of the flesh, the desire of the flesh, the things of this world opens up the dust that you're made out of, this old earth. This old bodily man swallows your inner man up. Just swallows you up. And then it goes on to say here that they murmured. A lot of times we think, well, murmuring doesn't count, Brother Pike. But the Bible said that ye are not to murmur, to do all things without murmuring. Why is it that the man murmurs to his wife against the minister? Why is it that the woman murmurs to the husband against the church? Why is it that you murmur against your neighbor and against your fellow servant? Why do you do that? You murmur one to another, and the Bible says that God is highly displeased with it. Do all things without murmuring. The casting down of imagination and every high thing that exalted itself against the knowledge of God, bringing into captivity every thought to the obedience of Jesus Christ. Why do you murmur the way that you do? All right, he said, now, neither murmur ye as some of them also murmured and were destroyed of the destroyer. That is the devil just overcome them. A lot of times you're killed in wrecks. A lot of times people are killed in wrecks, that is. A lot of times they're killed by storms, tornadoes, or whatever. A lot of times they're killed by diseases. It said, and they were destroyed of the destroyer. Now all these things happen unto them for examples, and they are written for our admonition, upon whom the ends of the world have come. Wherefore let him that thinketh he standeth take heed lest he fall. There hath no temptation taken you but such as is common to man. But God is faithful, who will not suffer you to be tempted above that you are able, but will with the temptation also make a way to escape that you may be able to bear it. He tells us here in the writings, Paul tells us that we cannot use the excuse that our burdens are greater than somebody else's. That we're just going through something that somebody else hasn't encountered. He says everything that you go through, somebody else is going through it or already been through it. It's just a common thing, so you can't say that that's not why you're living a Christian life. Wherefore, my dearly beloved, flee from idolatry. I speak as to wise men, judge ye what I say. The cup of blessing which we bless, is it not the communion of the blood of Christ? The bread which we break, is it not the communion of the body of Christ? For we being many are one bread and one body, for we are all partakers of that one bread. Behold Israel after the flesh, are not they which eat of the sacrifices partakers of the altar? What say I then? That the idol is anything, or that which is offered in sacrifice to idols is anything? But I say that the things which the Gentiles sacrifice, they sacrifice to devils and not to God. And I would not that ye should have fellowship with devils. Ye cannot drink the cup of the Lord and the cup of devils. Ye cannot be partakers of the Lord's table and of the table of devils. Do we provoke the Lord to jealousy? Are we stronger than he? All things are lawful for me, but all things are not expedient. All things are lawful for me, but all things edify not. Let no man seek his own, but every man another's well. Whatsoever is sold in the shambles that eat, asking no questions for conscience sake. For the earth is the Lord's and the fullness thereof. If any of them that believe not bid you to a feast, you be disposed to go. Whatsoever is set before you eat, asking no questions for conscience sake. But if any man say unto you, this is offered in sacrifice unto idols, eat not for his sake that showed it, and for conscience sake. For the earth is the Lord's and the fullness thereof. Conscience, I say, not thine own, but of the other. For why is my liberty judge of another man's conscience? For if I by grace be a partaker, why am I evil spoken of for that for which I give thanks? Whether therefore ye eat or drink, or whatsoever ye do, do all to the glory of God. Give none offense, neither to the Jew, nor to the Gentile, nor to the church of God. Even as I please all men in all things, not seeking my own profit, but the profit of many, that they may be saved. Be ye followers of me, even as I also I am of Christ. Now, here the Bible tells us that this is written for our admonition. I want to say again that if we are of the opinion that God can come into the sanctuary of little Bethlehem and never reprove anybody in our sanctuary or never reprove any of us, then we are in bad shape if we have that conviction. Now you would say, but Brother Pike, I can see where God might do that. But what's that got to do with you doing that? But the Bible says concerning the minister that it is not him that speaketh, but God that's doing the speaking. Now you would say, Brother Pike, that doesn't mean that's God saying those things. It means one thing, that when I was not a Christian, I was out in the world somewhere, and I was interested in the world somewhere, and I was saying the things of the world out there. I wasn't interested in the church nor saying these kind of things. Therefore, what I am saying now, I am saying by the unction of God. I am here because God turned me around and put me here. I am saying these things in the behalf of God. The Bible teaches that I am set for a testimony of the truth. For this cause came I into the world, to bear witness of the truth. That's why I'm here, to bear witness of the truth. God is the Spirit of truth. Now, when I reprove somebody in the audience, I have so many people in my audience that live such a shadow life that the very minute I say something to them, they frown up and that thing runs all across the audience. And I get a shortage. I get static coming back. You know why? Because the very people that thing touches is half-hearted in God to begin with. Those people are not living like they ought to begin with. And that's where the problem is. And when I go to get a devil out of their midst, that thing short circuits and it runs over their mind, and immediately I fill their minds. Why? Because they're not living an overcoming life. I say this so that a sister won't be overconfident in herself. You know, I could bypass these things and not say anything about them. Did you know that? I could go on. I could get up here. I never say anything about anybody. But if I did, then the individual in which the devil is in, or that with which is giving place to the devil, would become overconfident that they were here and God didn't know nothing about it and I didn't see it, and they could continue on like they're going. That's why that I say the things that I do, to keep them from getting overconfident and let them know that we do know that they're here. That's why. Now, when I preach, after I get started to preaching, then the atmosphere begins to clean up and devils go this way and that way and every way. Once we get to preaching the gospel, the devils get out of here. Once we get to talking about Jesus and get the meaning business up here from this pulpit in bringing down the word of God, devils go every which way. And people get afraid and they begin to draw their minds into the mind of Christ, realizing that God will bring judgment upon them and that they'll be in serious trouble. But folks, that's not right. You should never come in this place to begin with that kind of thing. Because when we get up, if we have to wait till we get up here to start preaching to get you to do those things, you're already in trouble. You should be the kind of person that when you come into this sanctuary, you come into this place with thanksgiving. You come into this place with the mind of Christ. Now I tell you over and over, these things, Paul said, happen for your example, that you should not obey the evil that is in your body. And the carnal mind is evil. The carnal mind comes from the tree of knowledge. The carnal mind is enmity with God. When you come into this church, if you have not subjected your carnal thinking, your carnal mind, to praises and worship and love and adoration of God and respect to God's man and respect to God's people and respect to God's house, you are automatically the enemy of God when you come into this place. Now, if these things happen for your example, if they happen for my example, then what is God going to do with us if we don't honor and obey God? What is going to be the end of all of this if we don't honor and obey God? Is God going to let us get away with these things? Is God going to let us get by with these things? Absolutely not. The Bible said there is nothing, not one thing that's done in the dark that won't be brought to the light. There isn't one thing that you ever thought, not one thing that you ever said, not one thing that you ever done, but what is going to come to the light. God is going to take every thought you ever thought, every word you ever said, every deed you ever done, whether it was between you and your wife, whether it was between you and your neighbor, whether it was between you and your children, whether it was in the secret closet, or whether it was out yonder somewhere, or whatever it was, you're going to answer to God for it. Every one of them is going to be paid for. You are going to answer to God. God is going to bring it out. You're going to have to answer to God every word, every thought, Jesus said. Casting down imagination and every high thing that exalted itself against the knowledge of God. Bringing into captivity every thought to the obedience of Jesus Christ. See, the Bible said every thought, every thought, every thought. That needs to hammer on our minds over and over and over. Every thought, every thought, every thought to the obedience of Jesus Christ. Every thought. To the obedience, the thoughts that you're thinking right now, every thought to the obedience of Jesus Christ. David even went beyond that. He prayed, Father, forgive me for the intents of my heart. Somebody says, yes, David was a man after God's own heart, but look what David did. Yes, and look what happened to David too. Look at the things that happened to David. David was beat with some mighty hard stripes. The Bible said, he that knoweth to do his Lord's will and committed things worthy of stripes shall be beaten with many stripes. He that did not know to do his Lord's will and committed things that are worthy of stripes shall be beaten with few stripes. God shall give mercy where there is no knowledge. But the Bible says that that servant that knew not to do his Lord's will shall not go unpunished. Though he does not know to do the Lord's will, the Bible teaches he should have applied himself to know to do the Lord's will. For it said, that man that knew not to do the Lord's will, he still shall be chastened of God because he did not apply himself. So then there is no excuse in the day that we're living in, friend. You know, there was a time when the law would excuse you. You could overrun the law. And the law would excuse you. You could break the speed limit and the law would excuse you. I remember very well many times that I've seen people be excused by the law. But today they use the term that there is no excuse anymore. They say that the law is given out on TV. The law is given out on the radio. The law is given out in the newspapers. That the law is published in the magazines. That the law is on the signboards along the highway. And everybody knows about the law, and nobody is excused from the law anymore. So then they say that ignorance is no excuse. Paul is saying, I would not have you ignorant, because ignorant, brethren, today being ignorant is no excuse. Being ignorant today will not stand in the judgment of God. I tell you in the name of the Lord is one that will face you in the day of judgment. I will stand there face to face with you in the day of the judgment. That your ignorance will not suffice in the day of judgment. You are going to have to answer to the Heavenly Father as one that knows the way of God, because you should have known the way of God. And like the man that came and confessed yesterday, and he told me, he said, Brother Pike, he said, I'm one of the world's worst in saying, I don't understand, I don't understand. He said, but what you said is true. He said, we use that thing for a crutch. He said, it's true. And said, I found myself reproving somebody the other day over the way they felt toward you. And said, as I did, something spoke to me and made me to know that I'd done the very same thing. And I was guilty of the very same feelings. You know what? We need to be careful, beloved friend. Did you know that? We need to be careful. The Bible teaches, woe unto that man that goes and puts his finger on another man, wherein thou doest the same thing. You do the very same thing. Like somebody come to me just a day or two ago, and they took one of the brethren here. And I mean, they really were slicing him up. And I know that the man, as far as the natural world would look at it, should have been sliced up, was guilty of every bit of it that was said against him. But I said, how in the world can you say those evil things or say those things about somebody when you're so guilty of the wrong that you're guilty of? And it stopped him. See, that's where the problem is. It's not wrong to reprove a man because of his sins. It's not wrong to tell a man that God's going to get him because of his evil. But, beloved friend, it is wrong when you do evil yourself and then you tell that man that he cannot do evil. It is wrong when you condemn another man when you're guilty of the same thing. But you say, now, Brother Pike, I'm not guilty of that, but maybe you're guilty of something worse. It's like those that took the woman in the very act of adultery. They wanted to stone her to death. Maybe they wasn't guilty of adultery. But according to what God showed, they were convicted in their conscience. They were guilty of some evil. Every one of them was guilty, and they turned away one by one. When Jesus said, woman, where is thine accusers? Now then, when you do that, you are guilty before God. But friend, let me tell you, Jesus could have accused her. There was one standing there that could have accused her. Did you know that? That Jesus that stood there was without spot, without wrinkle, without blemish. He could very easily have accused her. But out of the grace of God and the mercy of God, he refused to do it. He looked upon her and he said, woman, where is those thine accusers? And she said, Lord, there's none of them. He said, neither do I condemn thee, but go thy way, woman. Don't be sinning anymore. Don't do this thing anymore. Take heed to God, lest the worst of thing come upon you. Jesus did not condone her sins as some half-hearted preachers would like to make it sound, you know. A lot of times half-hearted preachers, they get up and they call themselves preaching the love of God, and they're up to here in the muck of the world. And they're just after a dollar anyway, and they preach the love of God, and they say, and this was the love of God, neither do I condemn thee, sister. God is love. He doesn't condemn you. The Bible said that God sent his Son into the world, not to condemn the world, that's true, but that through him the world might be saved, because the world was condemned already because of sin. But it does say that Jesus came into this world to condemn sin in the flesh. And we've got to remember, though, he did not come to condemn individuals. He came to condemn sin. And brother, if we are a man of God, if we're a preacher, we're going to condemn sin in the flesh. Satan savors the things that be of the flesh. If we do not condemn sin in the flesh, we are not preaching the love of God. If God spared not his own Son, whom he made sin for you and I, if God did not spare his own Son, but gave him up freely, bruised him at Calvary, you can be sure he will not spare Brother Pike. He will not spare you. He will not spare any other minister. But if God did not spare his own Son, he isn't going to spare us. That's for sure. That's for sure. All right. But if God, through Christ, spared me, I should be grateful. I should be grateful. I am grateful. I'm very thankful. I do exceedingly fear, lest there be a promise left, be taken away from me, of entering into the rest of God. I do exceedingly fear. I reverence, I respect, I greatly fear from the bottom of my heart. I fear. Because God doesn't have to use me. God doesn't have to have me. God doesn't have to use you. God has people. God can raise up from the stone people. If he created you and I, he can create more people. God can populate worlds without end. He doesn't have to have this little globe called earth. He can do away with the whole thing. He said, Moses, get out of my way. I'll destroy all of them. And I'll take you, Moses, by yourself and start a new world with you. Just like he did with Noah. But Moses pleaded with God. God doesn't want to destroy you. It is not his will that any should perish, but all should come to repentance and have everlasting life. But brothers and sisters, there's one thing for sure. We must come to repentance. We've got to come to repentance. There's no such thing as joining the church and being a Christian. You don't do that. You can't just emerge into the church because you're a good feller and the preacher lays his eyes on you and thinks you're a good businessman, or you got a good income, or you're gonna help him with his load and he just kind of eases you in. You can't do that. It's like a man came to us over in the cafe not too long ago. Over here at a church of God. I'm sorry to have to say that, but it was a church of God. A Pentecostal church. The man was smoking and doing the things of the world, and the preacher said, "That's all right. Come on in and be part of the church." But the man that was smoking had more integrity than the preacher. He said, "No, it isn't right. It isn't right." That's the way the world is today. That's the way the world is today. And that's the way the church world is today. But brethren, let me tell you, the Bible said God added unto the church such as should be saved. The man came to me and he said, "What do you think about it?" He knew what I thought about it because he's heard me in time past preach against it. He said, "Brother Pike, I've heard you really cut down against it. That it wasn't right." I said, "It is right. It's not right." I said, "The preacher was wrong in doing that." Brother, God adds to the church daily such as should be saved. No one should be in the church that is not saved. No one. Now, as far as coming to the church, let anybody come to the church. Murderers, harlots, liars, cheats, whatever. But they that are added to the church, they are not put on a church book. They are not numbered on a church board. But they are added to the church by the great Holy Spirit of God in becoming a membership of that body. Each member, one member to another, they become a member of that body. And what we've got to do is walk in the light as He is in the light, to have fellowship one with another, to be a member of that body. Let me tell you something, friend. You listen at me today. When people, I said this the other day, I want to repeat it. When people do not come to the house of God, when people do not visit with the brethren and come to fellowship the brethren, they are in a backslidden condition. When you see a man shying away from the brotherhood and he finds things more interesting out yonder somewhere, where out yonder, whether it be business or whether it be money, whether it be relatives or whether it be whatever it is, visiting with his own family, whatever it is, whether it's riding, eating, drinking, whatever, that man is in a backslidden condition. That woman's in a backslidden condition. You say, "Well, Brother Pike, I think they're just going to backslide." They're already backslid. The Bible said if you walk in the light as He is in the light, you will have fellowship one with another, and the blood of Jesus Christ will cleanse you from all unrighteousness. Brother, when you don't walk in the light, there's something wrong with you. You're not going to fellowship the brotherhood when you don't walk in the light. You're going to find an excuse for not being there. You're going to always be somewhere else. You're going to always be doing something else. You're going to always be busy when the brethren come together. But I tell you one thing. If you walk in the light as He is in the light, you will have fellowship one with another. Somebody says, "Well, Brother Pike, I love God's people. I'm in fellowship with God's people." You can't say that. You'll never come around the brotherhood. What makes you think you're in fellowship with God's people and that you love God's people? I tell you what, if that's your theory of love, you just leave your wife for the next 3 months and you come to see her once every 3 months and see how long your love affair exists. I'll tell you what, if you ain't got a good wife, there won't be long before somebody else will be in between you and your love affair. I'll guarantee you that. You just try it, Miss Lady, or you try it, Mister, and see if it don't work that way. And I tell you, it works the same way with God. Somebody's going to take your crown. You must love one another. You must be together with one another. You must fellowship one another. And if you walk in the light as He is in the light, you're going to be around one another. You might say, "But I'm fasting, I'm praying." No, you're not. You're lying. That's what you're doing. You can't lie against the Word of God. You can't fast your way around the Word of God. You can't pray your way around the Word of God. You got to go in by the door. So then you're going to have fellowship one with another. When that man or woman shies away, you know they're in a backslidden condition. And the honest ones will eventually come back and confess that they are in a backslidden condition. Like the man yesterday began to confess it. When a person that is under a shepherd leaves that shepherd's oversight and turns to a brother or somebody else for relief or help, he is in a backslidden condition. He is sick. He is sick. A sheep will not leave the shepherd unless he's sick. That's been proven. He is in a sick condition, and the man that shepherds him is in a backslidden condition. Oh, he wouldn't dare do it. He'd know the penalty of God and the wrath of God for doing such a thing. And the division that it causes within the church. But oh, let me tell you something, children of God. If you walk in the light as Christ is in the light, you're going to fellowship one another. You're going to be around these brothers. You're going to be around these sisters. And everything is going to work out all right for you. When you find a person, they're always finding fault. They say, well, I'd come to church, but I can't because of. That's a liar. That's what he is. She's a liar. That's what she is. Somebody said, well, I can't come to church because of. You are a liar. There's no reason you can't come to the house of God. Jesus had to take a whip and turn over the table, but he still come to the house of God. The Bible said it was his custom to be in the house of God every Sabbath, regardless of whether he had to pop the whip and turn over the money tables or not. He still went to the house of God. So then you have no excuse. You are without excuse. We must have fellowship. We must come to the house of God. You that drag in here in service, way after the service, get started with a regularity, having no reason at all, no spiritual thing to show for it, you are in a backslidden condition. You do not have your minds on God. You do not have a vision for God. You wouldn't dare let a man do that on your job. Or you wouldn't dare let a man do that that was lined up with you in something that you was going to do. You demand that he come on time. But yet when it comes to God's house and God's things, it can go any way, any time. But oh, let me tell you, if you've got God, you'll be diligent. You won't sit up here all night on Saturday night here talking and fellowshipping and not come to the house of God either and stay out. You do, you backslid. People that love God may fellowship all night, but the next morning they'll drag out of the bed to get here. Now, I fellowshipped all night numbers of times, but I still come to the house of God. I still come to the house of God. The body didn't want to. The flesh didn't want to. And you men that have jobs that keep you out there for hours away from the sanctuary of God, and you come in here when the service is half over. You men and women alike, you're backslid. You wouldn't do that if you wasn't backslid. You say, Brother Pike, you talk like the whole church is backslid, not just part of it. The Bible said, few there be that find it. I've still got a few that's found it. When Gideon narrowed them down, he just had a few faithful ones, and that was the ones that won the battle. Well, if you love God, you're going to be here. You come to church tonight and then stay out the next church night and back next church night and stay out the next church night. You're backslid. You don't have your mind on God. You know you don't have your mind on God. If you use everything that you can muster up to excuse yourself from coming to the house of God, you've got to go over here and do this. Go over here and do this. Or you couldn't get there because of you are a backslider. And most likely a liar too. When you boil it all down, you'll find out you're probably a liar too. Usually they go together. You say, Brother Pike, how can I tell when I'm backslid? The Bible said the backslider shall be filled with his own ways. When a man don't go to God's house, when a man don't fellowship the brethren, when a man don't get behind God's kingdom, he's doing something for himself. He is filled with his own ways. He's got his own plans. He's got his own thing. He's got his own doings because he is backslid. He's going where he wants to go, doing what he wants to do, saying what he wants to say. His flesh demands it of him. His flesh says, I just can't bear to be in church. Why? Because the devil's got a hold of you. But brother, if you get God on the inside of you, you'll love to come to the house of God. So then, we see that the backslider is filled with his own ways. But if you walk in the light as he is in the light, you'll have fellowship one with another. And the blood of Jesus Christ will cleanse you from all of your sins. You know, that's what we need is a blood bath in the blood of Jesus to cleanse us from all of our sins. Some of you don't have the Holy Ghost. I preached this the other night. Some of you wasn't here, but some of you don't have the Holy Ghost. That's where the problem is. If you had the Holy Ghost, you'd be all right. Now, but you don't have the Holy Ghost. That's where your problem is. How somebody said, you're going to preach the second sermon? I think I disturbed somebody. Then they thought it was mealtime. It is for those that know where to get their meal and what they're eating. All right. So then you say, Brother Pike, what do you mean? I mean, there's some people that don't have the Holy Ghost. There's some that don't have the Holy Ghost. They don't have the Holy Ghost. You say, how do you know they don't have the Holy Ghost? Because they don't have the fruits of holiness in their life. I said they don't have the fruits of holiness in their life. People that have God, that has God's Spirit, have the fruits of holiness in their life. But you don't have the fruits of holiness in your life. You don't produce the fruits of holiness. Say, now who are you talking to? I'm talking to you. How many know who you are? Jesus said, what I say to one, I say to all. Now, you don't have the Holy Ghost if you don't produce the fruits of holiness. The Bible teaches that we have our fruits unto holiness. And brother, if you have the Holy Spirit on inside of you, then you're going to have fruits of holiness. Now, I ain't through yet. You might not get ready for dinner because I ain't through yet. If you've got to hurry off to dinner, you can run on. These others are going to stay with me. We got some food to eat that you don't know about anyway. All right. So then we who have the Holy Ghost, if we really have the Holy Ghost, then we'll live an overcoming life. The Bible said, he that is born of God, that evil one toucheth him not. Brother, when you got the Holy Ghost, the devil never touches you one time. He has never touched you during your entire Christian experience. He will never touch you during your entire Christian experience. He will never touch you. You will never have one spot, never have one wrinkle, never have one blemish. Because God is coming back after a church without spot, wrinkle, or blemish. You say, but Brother Pike, that's when the ministry gets them all perfected. I've said this a lot of times. If God is depending on the ministry to get all of his people righteous, then God's plan is a failure. If the blood of Jesus did not perfect forever them that God sanctified, his plan is a failure. Because if the blood of Christ couldn't do it, the ministry will never be able to make it. We are set here for the perfecting of your faith. That is to reveal to you your benefits in God, to tell you what God did do for you, and to bring you in it gradually so that the great light won't destroy you as it comes forcibly all at one time. Whereas the Bible said, when it comes, even the ocean itself shall flee away, the mountains shall flee away, the earth shall flee away. But breaking it to you proportionally from glory to glory as we reveal the word, then we're just telling you we're helpers of your faith. We are perfecting your faith. We are telling you what you already are in Christ Jesus. Somebody would say, well, if I already am, they don't need me worried about learning nothing about nothing because I already am anyway. It's just a lot of bother. I got to learn it. But you're not, see. But you're not until you know and then believe it. If you don't know, you can't believe it. If you don't believe it, you're not. You're one of them that got left out. See, you can't get around God. It's a high you can't get over. It's a low you can't get under it. It's a wide you can't get around it. You got to go in by the door. So then these that are born of God's Spirit, love the Word, and long for the Word, and hunger and thirst after the Word, and they listen diligently till they understand the Word, that the mind of Christ may be perfected in them, that they may believe, and that God may purify their hearts by faith, having predestinated them unto the perfection which is in Jesus Christ, then they obtain this great thing, or the like promise that God has given unto them. Therefore, we are his. We are his. But these things happen for our example. All were under the cloud. All were baptized in the sea. But with all of them, God was not well pleased. Just some of them. He was pleased with some of them. Today, God is not well pleased with some of you people. He's not pleased at all with you. Some of the people he is pleased with. Some of the people he is not pleased with. So then, beloved, what you need to do is to check up and get right with God. And you need to shake yourself and realize that you're not going to coast into the kingdom of God. And I say this very reverently. Some people misunderstanding the teachings of the Baptist church and misunderstanding the teachings of William Branham and others that have taught predestination, you've got yourself in a mess. That's right, you have got yourself into a mess. There is no predestination except in Christ Jesus. I am only predestinated in Him. That's all. You say, Brother Pike, what do you mean by that? I mean that God didn't come down and predestinate you as an individual. He predestinated you in Him. Whatever Christ is, so are we in Him. God made Him what He expects us to come to. And He looks on Him as us until we come to that which He has already imparted unto us through Christ Jesus. I am perfect in Him. I am complete in Him. As He is, so am I in Him. So then we are predestinated in Him and in Him only. And your predestination aside from that means absolutely nothing. So then if you don't fit into Him, beloved friend, you are not predestinated. You're only predestinated if you are a member of the body. And if you are a member of the body, then you fit into Him. Because He is the only heir to the glory of God, and the predestinated one is Him. So then if you are in Him, then you are the predestinated. If you are not in Him, you are not predestinated, for God has so predestinated us in Christ. All right, He is God's workmanship. All these people running around talking about predestination, about, well, there's one way or another they're going to make it or ain't going to make it. I agree to that. But I can tell them one thing, all of them that's running around saying that and making no efforts, I can tell you something that'll help you to where you won't be double-minded. You ain't going to make it. You don't have to worry about whether you will make it or won't make it. I can help you this morning. You ain't going to make it. All right. Some of you that are trying ain't going to make it. For the Bible said, many shall try and not be able. Strive to enter in at the straight gate, for many shall try and not be able. There's going to be hundreds of thousands of religious people in the world that's going to make an effort, but they're not going to get into the kingdom. But we're getting in. We've been translated into the kingdom of our God. How do you know we've been translated in the kingdom of our God? We've been translated in. We made it in through Jesus Christ our Lord. All right, I want you to stand with me. I hope we've said something this morning that'll make you stop and think. These things happen for our example. You have no excuse. Thou art inexcusable. Say, well, we've got another sermon. I know you got another sermon, which means you're more chargeable. Every time you hear another sermon, every time you get more knowledge of God, you're more chargeable to God. You're in more danger. More danger. God requires more out of you. To whom much is given, much is required. Now you better shake yourself while you're in here and the light's on. You walk out and the light goes off and you get back in that old rut of doing your thing and wanting to eat, drink, be merry and say what you want to and feel like you want to. And then you don't know what you've done till you come back and you turn the light on again and see what you spilt all over your garment. See, while you're in here and while you can see, make up your mind once and for all and say, my God, while the light's on, I'm going to get a hold of this carcass of mine and I'm going to be holy in body and in spirit. I'm going to bring this fellow under subjection lest I be a castaway. After I talk to others about Jesus, this body must come under subjection. You can't take the outlook you're saved by faith and don't have to do nothing with the body. The body must be subjected to the things of God. If your body isn't subjected to the things of God, you don't have eternal life. All right, let's sing a little chorus together. I love you, folks. And I want to help you. I'll do anything I can to help you. But the only way that I can help you is for you to listen to me. If you'll listen to me, you'll be glad. If you don't listen to me, you're going to be very sorrowful. Down the road, you're going to be very sorrowful. God, who is no respecter of person, Brother Pike has to toe the mark. Sister Betty has to toe the mark. My children have to toe the mark. God isn't going to let David in because he's my son. He's got to live right. He isn't going to let George Jr. in because he's my son, nor Dale in, nor Cindy in, nor Susie, nor Danny, Joan, or Gracie. He isn't going to let any of them in. Because they're my children, they got to live right. They got to live right. He isn't going to let your children in either. They're going to have to live right. You may make allowance for them. I may make allowance for them, but God isn't going to make any allowance for them. To Him, it's not a matter of them being a son. It's a matter of them being a human being to Him. Every man, every woman must answer to God. He hath put a love in your heart for your wife and children because He wants you to provide for them. He's let that love be there for you. You're forward no more, as we say, in the sense of making a living, because He wants you to feel the responsibility of them. And to do that, you got to have an affection toward them. But someday that affection will fade away to nothing. It won't be there. You'll see them as human beings. Some of them will be in hell. You won't even have any feelings for them. Some of them will be in heaven, and you'll have that holy God union between you and them. The others will be a bunch of beasts in hell. You won't have any feeling toward them. You'll never even think of them as having been your sons and daughters. And there's but one family. That's the God family. Just the God family. You may override the God word and the God feeling and the God love. You may override all of those things just to hold up the side of your natural affection for your own flesh, for your own convenience, for your own wife, for your own children. Whereas Abraham didn't do that. You may do it only to your regret and sorrow, because someday you're going to give it up anyway. Someday you're going to give it up anyway. But I hope and pray to God that we can learn to respect one another, love one another, treat one another the way that we ought to. Come to the house of God. Invite people to the house of God. You know, when we have visitors here, somebody say hello to them. Somebody shake hands with them. You know, somebody says, well, I don't have a ministry. I tell you, I give you a ministry this morning. Shake hands with that person. Say hello to that person. Invite that person. Encourage that person. And they'll want to come back. But if they find no love and they find no fellowship and they find no interest from you, they're not going to want to come back because they haven't seen the love of God. But friend, if you got the love of God, you'll show it to them. Brother Jim is in the benevolence end of it to see that they have places to stay. And I know that he forgets, because it's hard to remember sometimes that everybody that comes in that you're responsible for them. But Brother Jim is responsible for every visitor that comes here. Has to see that they have a place to stay, to find out if they're going to be here overnight, to see that they have a place to stay. And if they're going to be here during the day, a lot of times inquiry must be made. He has to have people working with him to see that inquiry is made, working with the securities and whatever, to know that those people's state of being and state of welfare is as it should be. If not, then we'll be in trouble with God. For who knows when the body of Christ will come in here? Who knows when it's a member of the Lord Jesus Christ? And if we're negligent toward it, then we have to pay for it, friend. We have to pay for it. You say, well, that's Jimmy's job. It's your job and my job. We've just elected Jimmy to take our responsibility. But in the event that Jimmy forgets, or in the event that Jimmy's not here, or in the event that we perceive that they're neglected, it's still our responsibility. Still our responsibility, especially the governors. There's seven governors. Brother Wayne, the chief governor. It's the governor's responsibilities to see that things around here function properly, that everything stays properly in order. It is their responsibility to God and to man to see that that thing goes right. The city of seven governors. That's what it says on the sign in town. When we put seven governors out here, I never even thought about that up there till God spoke to me about it afterwards. But he's doing something. He had those seven governors to come and reside here for a reason. He's doing something. It's like Pete, the cousin of mine, told some of them to come and ask him about us out here. He said, the things that was wrote in the paper that was contrary to them, he said, that ain't true. He said, I've known George all of his life. He said, that ain't true. He said, you can be sure that ain't true. Let's sing a little chorus together, can't we? You know, folks, we ought to not mind suffering persecution. Being defamed, Paul said, we entreat. Being made the offscouring of the earth for his sake. They that live God in Christ Jesus are going to suffer persecution. If everybody speaks well of us, the Bible said, woe unto that false prophet. They all speak well of the false prophet. That man is a false prophet when everybody speaks well of him. But somebody's going to say something bad. I appreciate Brother Toby. I appreciate Toby. Toby's tried. He's not been living for God, but I appreciate his outlook. Brother Junior was telling me yesterday, some of the others tell me day before yesterday too, I believe, or early in the morning, that Toby was up at a certain place and this man, about 80 years old, sitting there talking, said he made the statement, said, I never seen a man yet that ever got $1 million or whatever, that ever got it, but what he got it crooked. Toby said, I don't agree with you. He said, I know of one. He said, he didn't get it crooked. He said, I know he didn't. And he referred to little Bethlehem. So see, people can see, people believe, they might not walk right in hand with you, but they still see, and they believe, they believe. Let's sing that little chorus that I believe is one of the finest I ever heard. That is, we'll give all the glory to Jesus. You know, anybody that would want to take the glory from God, anybody that wouldn't want to give the glory to Jesus, anybody that would want to lift themselves up when he was the one that took the nail prints and he was the one that had the nail, had the thorns pushed down into his brow, and he the one that suffered the untold agony. How could a man take the glory from God? How could he do that? How could he ever do that? He is deserving, altogether deserving. Let's sing that song together, can we? And we'll give all the glory to Jesus. We'll sing about his love. We'll sing about his love. And we'll give all the glory to Jesus. And we'll sing of his wonderful love. Don't you love Jesus? If you want the sister prayed for, just push on down here. We'll pray for her. I perceive that you probably want her prayed for. You know, people are falling away everywhere. The end should not come unless there be a great falling away. Jesus said that. There is to be a great falling away throughout the world. And the end should not come unless there be a great falling away first. Brother Walden, yesterday, speaking of the great falling away, I appreciate him coming by, talking with us. He was really stirred about doing something for God. I think some of them didn't recognize him. He'd grown him a mustache, a real heavy mustache across here, and some of them didn't recognize him. So, of course, I recognized him the very minute I saw him, but he was so deeply stirred and deeply grieved. Really moved about lost souls and about the things of God. And he said he really wanted to see people come into a greater place with God. He said, I'm making a special effort to get people deeper into the things of God, for I'm persuaded to believe that this is the reason why they're falling away from God. You know, we don't have any time for God. In the last days, they'll be eating and drinking. I love to go to the cafe and eat, drink just like you do. And I'm sure that you enjoy it. I know some of you look forward to it, the wives that stay in the kitchen. I'm talking about the wives that stay in the kitchen during the week, trying to cook, watch after their children, because we don't have too many wives nowadays that do that. They ride the roads. But you that stay at home and try to do something, it's not always going here and there and the other. I know you look forward to being taken out on the weekend. And that's great. That's wonderful. Nothing wrong with that. You have to be mighty careful where you go and what you do, because it's so bad. But you know, people get in a rut. They have to go out every night, every night, every night. They have to go out every Sunday, every day. That is a rut. How many know that you can just get in a rut? A rut. Always having to go by, ride, ride, ride. All the time a rut. You know, you need to share some time with God, spend some time in prayer. When a person gets in a routine, it's always the devil, because it's the carnal mind. Anything that gets in a routine is the devil. Now, you can have customs. Jesus had customs, such as coming to the house of God. It may be Christ. But you get in a routine, it's always the devil. Always the devil, because it's the carnal mind. And it'll lead to trouble sooner or later. Somebody will get hurt, something will happen, because it's the carnal mind. You need to always break it. Change about. Do something different. Don't let yourself get in a rut. Do something different so that you don't get in a rut. Now, if you have a custom, doing something for God with a regularity, consistency, that's not a rut. That's right. That should be. But just remember what I'm telling you. It's always the carnal mind. And if you get into a rut over things, we're going to pray for these people. You love Jesus. You know, you see those little bitty fellas come up there and kneel down to the altar like that. It really does something to you. They come and kneel down and call on the name of Jesus. I really believe in my heart. I'm persuaded to believe in my heart that the great falling away is here. I really believe it. I believe that we're living in the hour of the great falling away. And I believe in my heart that the coming of the Lord Jesus is right at hand. It's like David Paul said yesterday. David was talking to some of the brethren and he said, well, so the hurricane that come out, Hurricane David, that's doing so much damage, killed so many people. He said, you know, we've got to remember it's getting closer and closer to the 80s. And you know what scientists said about the 80s? And then there's been two other hurricanes that's come out of the ocean. One, I believe the name Fred. And maybe one, Alina, I believe, or something like that. Something is happening. Something's happening. Did you know, as a rule, they never named hurricanes after men? They always named hurricanes after women. If they're naming them after men, now that has a spiritual significance. Something is happening, or they wouldn't be doing that. I really believe that we're on the verge of the coming of Jesus, the end of the world. With all those hurricanes happening, truly there's something that's happening. Truly something's happening in the universe. Things are shifting and rolling about to and fro. I wonder if you're praying. I wonder if you're concerned. I wonder if you're even concerned about little Bethlehem. You know, I ask myself the question a lot of times. I say, Brother Pike, are you even concerned about little Bethlehem? Are you even concerned about the spiritual people that are here? Do you really pray for the spiritual people? You know, when you get down to pray, you say, God bless everybody, and you yawn, you know, and you get up. But do you really get down and say, my God, these are my brothers and sisters, and they've got children, they've got homes, and they've got a life to live, and they've got heartaches, and they've got sorrow. And Father, I pray that you'd help them, and I pray that you'd strengthen them, and I pray that you'd smile on them, and I pray that you'd do something special for them. Do you take time to do that? Do you even pray for your relatives, your cousins, your aunts, the uncles, the relatives? Do you? Do you even pray for your sisters and brothers? Mother and daddy, do you even pray? Do you? I tell you, it's a bad situation if you don't pray. Samuel said, God forbid that I should sin against God by not praying for the people. It is a sin against God when you don't pray for the people. It is a sin against God. Let's pray. Father, Lord of heaven, when we see conditions such as this before us, knowing that sin is on the rampage in the world, in the Holy Ghost, Lord, as we feel Him now, Lord, we speak healing to this body. May it be healed in the name of Jesus Christ, the Son of God. May Thy glory, may Thy blessings, may Thy goodness go forth. Lord, that there be healing. Oh God, in the name of Jesus, may Thy blessings and healing come into this body. May salvation be in this heart. May these useless limbs receive strength, Father, to be used again. I believe, Lord, that as she believes with me, that You'll put life back into these limbs, back into this body, in Jesus' name. I believe it. Father, touch these little ones as I lay hands on them. Father, I pray that You'd touch them. May Thy Spirit rest upon them. Father, touch Sister Floyd. Help her in the name of Jesus Christ, the Son of God, to have faith. Oh God, it's so easy for You to do anything. We believe in Jesus' name. Father, touch this little girl in the lovely name of Jesus. Touch her little body. Let her feel God's presence. Father, touch this sister in the name of Jesus. May thy spirit be here this morning to heal. I feel your presence, God. Lord, because of Jesus, because of Calvary, Lord, thou hast healed me. Thou hast blessed me. Thou hast made me strong and healthy, Father. And down through the years, thou hast kept me this way. Though many things have assailed me, yet thou hast stood by me. In the name of Jesus Christ, heal the little one, Father. Touch him in the name of Jesus for your glory. Father, touch this sister. Help her, God, to understand, Lord, that there is much trouble, much sorrow, much heartaches, unless we follow the path of God. But all the paths of God are peace. But when we get out of the path of God, Father, there's nothing but trouble. Lord, but we know, as the song said this morning, that thou art a bridge over troubled waters. And may it be even so. Lord, may we see thee as the extended way of escape. In Jesus' name this morning, we ask you to heal, Father. Father, in Jesus' name, touch this brother. Help him to understand the thing that's happened in the past is for the best. And oh God, in the name of Jesus, may thy spirit rest upon Raja. May he find healing and may he find strength. May he find deliverance of mind and body in Jesus' blessed name. Father, touch Gary this morning. Lord, encourage his faith. Lord, I still remember the faith that Gary offered, Lord. Instead of going to the doctor to stand by faith, Lord, when you healed his leg when he couldn't walk on it. But oh God, may his faith be increased. May he take courage in Jesus' lovely name. Father, touch Brother Pascal, Lord, who is trying to do his part in his little bit in supporting the gospel. Lord, I see his little envelope come in, Father. Lord, trying to help. May the Spirit of the Lord be upon him. May his body be healed. Oh God, it is so easy for thee to heal. Heal in the name of Jesus Christ, the Son of God. Father, touch Brother Billy. Heal him. Father, bless him. Unite his home together. Give strength. Help them, Lord, to put their minds solely upon the things of God. Father, they could do so much for thee, Lord, at the age that they are. I pray in the name of Jesus. May the great Spirit of the living God be upon this family. And may they do something outstanding, oh God, for thee. In the name of Jesus Christ, I pray. Father, touch Willie. God, you see the efforts of Willie and of Brother Richard. Dear God, and you know that they're trying to stand with me. May their heart be blessed, Father. Lord, may the oil crews never run dry. Lord, spiritually, physically, or financially. Oh, hallelujah. Father, may they always find a way. Always find a way. In Jesus' name. In Jesus' name. Father, bless this little one. In Jesus' blessed name. Father, bless Brother Bobby. In the name of Jesus. Give Bob a vision. Help him to awake from slumber, Father. To arouse himself from the deep sleep of night. Lord, when deep sleep and slumber come upon a man, that they sleep the sleep of death. May he awake, Father, before those days of darkness. Lord, to be a light and to do something for Jesus. May he realize that he's got a life to live. And Father, whether he lives it to himself or whether he lives it in the behalf of God and others, Lord, that he must live a life and answer for a life at the day of the judgment. In the name of Jesus, may thy spirit be upon Bobby. Touch the little one in Jesus' name, Father. Father, touch this sister, Lord, that's kneeling here this morning. May the great, wonderful Spirit of the living God be upon her. Lord, may she find the answer, Lord, to every question of her heart. Jesus, thou hast the answer. And I know that you're going to grant to her the answer. Lord, may she find the answer. And oh God, day by day, I'm expecting you, Lord, to minister to her heart. and to her life and to meet her needs in the lovely name of your Son, Jesus Christ. Praise God. I feel the Lord's presence. Lord, bless the little one this morning as we lay hands upon him. And oh God, bless Brother Conrad this morning. May thy Spirit help him. Father, as he searches, as he tries to understand, help him. Lord God, as he looks back in the areas from whence he came, Lord, help him to understand whether or not that be your pleasure, or Father, whether or not he looked to the future. Lord, move upon him and help him. Forgive him. Lord, straighten out everything in his life for Jesus' sake, Father. Father, in the name of Jesus, touch our brother Richard, whom you've healed so wonderfully. Father, strengthen him and cause him to go on into greater depths, into greater understanding, to be a greater light. Strengthen him more and more, oh Lord, and let him look more and more toward that perfect day. I ask you to do it in Jesus' name, Father. Father, touch Baxter this morning. Father, touch his heart. Help him to resolve to do the will of God. May he not reason. May he not make plans for the future, only in the Lord Jesus. For Father, there is no future without Jesus. The only future that there is in Christ Jesus. May it be even so, Holy Father, in Jesus' name. Father, as we lay hands upon Brother Darrell, Lord, help him to understand about his family and know how to reach his loved ones, Father, whom he's so concerned from time to time. Help him to live an overcoming life and to be strong, Father, that he and his wife and children may be a great light. Holy Father, as I lay hands upon these people, impart the precious Holy Ghost to these people as we lay hands on them from time to time. And impart healing to these people in the name of Jesus, Father. Father, touch Brother Gary. Help him to be strong in Jesus. Lord, even as you told Joshua, Father, to be strong and be courageous, to be of a good courage. And oh God, that wherever you set your foot, that you would give it to him, Lord. May it be so with Gary, that wherever he sets his foot, Lord, that you'll give it to him, that he'll be able to master it in the name of Jesus Christ, the Son of God. Father, touch Brother Jimmy. I pray that you'd move every discouragement, Father, every element of discouragement. And dear God, may he burn brighter than a flame. Oh God, like a great candle, Lord, may he be lit up with faith. Father, may that faith that is so great in Jimmy break forth, Father, and come out of the veil. Oh God, to be an inspiration and a light, to continue the way it has in the past, Father. That it's overcome every physical affliction. And God, every bondage and everything that has come against it. Lord, coming back with a great testimony and a life for Jesus Christ. May it continue to be so in Jesus' lovely name. Father, this morning touch David. May thy Spirit be upon David. Oh, hallelujah. May thy presence rest upon David. Father, let thy great Spirit that we feel this morning go into David's heart. Help him, Father, to be tender. Lord God, as a tender plant shall he grow up before thee. Oh God, as a root, Lord, coming out of a dry land. Father, but thine hand shall be upon him, oh God. And you'll bless him, Jesus, and you'll help him and strengthen him. Help him, oh God, to turn his eyes toward heaven and his heart toward the pleasant land of God. That he might believe, Father, in that fruitful, wonderful blessing of God. That the blessing of the Lord maketh rich and addeth no sorrow. Give him strength. Take away the discouragement. Help him to be courageous. Grant it, Jesus, in your lovely name. Father, bless the little ones as I lay hands upon them this morning. May you bless them, precious Heavenly Father. May thy Spirit be upon them as we pray for them. Oh God of heaven, bless this sister this morning. Help her to take courage. Lord, may our people take courage this morning. Father, if they could only know what is waiting ahead for them. If they could only know the reward of a son and daughter of God. If they could only know what it means to have the Holy Ghost, the great Holy Spirit in their vessel here in this present world. Lord, to be with that great, wonderful, resurrected Christ. Lord, as He walks with us, as He stands in our midst, heal this morning, forgive and guide in Jesus' name. Touch the little sister. May she feel the great inspiration of the Lord. May faith be lifted up, Jesus. Oh, hallelujah. May it be so. In the lovely name of Jesus, the Son of God. Touch our sister. May she completely be satisfied. In the name of Jesus Christ, the Son of God. Answer her prayer. Answer her prayer and her desire in Jesus' name. Touch the sister in the name of the Lord. May thy spirit be upon her and upon Brother Lynn. May they be a great team for God. Lord, let them do great things for Jesus. Hear from heaven, Lord, endow them with the great understanding of the majesty from on high. And give them that great strength, that great perseverance and drive, oh Lord, to shine as a mighty light in the kingdom of God. Father, touch these little ones as I lay hands upon them. May their little vessels, Lord, be blessed of Thee. Father, touch this sister in the name of Jesus. Give her courage and give her strength. Help her to see, Lord, that in choosing Thee, she has chosen the right way. And Father, in choosing Thee, Lord, she has chosen that which is great and that which shall not be taken away from her. Lord, even as You said of Mary, Lord, for she hath chosen the better part. Oh, God, may it be so in Jesus' name. Father, touch this sister this morning. Lord, let Thy Spirit rest upon her. And Father, may the hunger of her heart and the hunger of Tommy's heart, Father, may it be bound together, Lord, in Thy Word, that they may feed upon the wonderful things of God, to strengthen their bodies, to strengthen their home, to strengthen their lives, to strengthen their faith, to lift it up in the name of Jesus Christ for Your glory, Father. Touch these little ones, Father, as I lay hands upon them. May Thy Spirit rest upon them. Oh, Heavenly Father. Father, touch Gracie. May the great Spirit of the living God rest upon Gracie. Hear from heaven and heal the lands and protect in Jesus' name. Father, touch this sister. May Thy great Spirit be upon her. Lord, to heal, to save, to forgive, to encourage. Oh, mighty God of heaven, as I feel her faith, may it be so in the wonderful name of Jesus. Touch the little ones and let the great Spirit of God be upon them, Father. Touch these little ones in Jesus' name. Touch Sister Helen and may her spirit, God, go out to Thee. And may the power of God rest upon her and be in her life to help her make the right decisions and be as a real fortress in faith as she stands with her companion, Brother Bobby. Father, touch Sister McLean. May she stand, dear God, with her companion. Lord, in faith and in perseverance. Lord, with her family. And dear God, the troubling spirits that come upon her. Lord, to harass her mind concerning her family. May they be taken away. Oh, God, and may they not come anymore. Dear God, and may You do something special in her life and in their lives in the wonderful name of Jesus Christ, the Son of God. Father, touch these little ones in the lovely name of Jesus, the Son of God. Touch their precious lives in Jesus' name, Father.
Ask me not, O
Father, touch Brother Carl this morning. Lord, help him to persevere. What a great experience we can have, Jesus, with Thee. Oh, what a great experience to be able to be called the Son of God. Lord, to know this morning that we are now sons of the living God. How grateful we ought to be. How happy and thankful we ought to be. Bless Carl and the family, Lord, and be with him and help him in Jesus' precious name. Father, touch Brother Michael as he seeks understanding. Lord, as he seeks to know what to do, may the Spirit of the Lord be upon him. Lord, help him in his drive for Thee in his conquest, O God. to do something for thy kingdom. May it be so. I love you, Jesus, and I praise you for the great spirit of conviction. Lord, in the great power of God, heal and forgive in Jesus' name. Touch the little ones in Jesus' precious name. As I lay hands upon them, may thy spirit rest upon them. In the name of Jesus, my Father. Father, touch Brother Al Gonzalez this morning. May thy spirit be upon Brother Al Gonzalez. Oh, Ramanda Ramashita, Ramanda Rianda Rabosanda Rabasaya, Ula Mandalian Talabolo Shai, Uramanda Rianda Rabashita, Ramanda Rianda Rabosanda Rabasaya, Ula Mandalian Dalabolosi and Dalabala Shai. Father, in the lovely name of Jesus, we ask in Jesus' name that your spirit be upon Brother Al, that every yoke be broken, every bondage be taken away. Oh God, that his light be great and his light shine. Let it shine as in the days gone by, as a great and a mighty light, as a great warrior for Christ. Grant it in the name of Jesus. I ask it in Jesus' lovely name. Hallelujah. In Jesus' name. Father, touch Brother Scotty. May the great Spirit of God rest upon Scotty. Give him strength, Father, as he comes back to the bishop of his soul. May he find the strength that he is looking for. Lord, I know that he wants that confirmation of your presence. Let it be so. In the lovely name of Jesus. Granted in Jesus' name, Father. Father, touch John this morning. May thy spirit be upon him. Bless him, O God, to give him of thy love. Give him of thine understanding. Touch him in the lovely name of Jesus. Cause him to be strong. Hear from heaven in Jesus' name. Father, touch these little ones in the wonderful name of Jesus. Touch them, Holy Father, in Jesus' beloved name. Father, touch Philip. Lord, as Philip comes to be prayed for this morning, he's come, Lord Jesus, and he has cast his lot with us to be part of little Bethlehem. May he never be sorry, but God make a great warrior out of him. Make him a great instrument in the hand of God, and let him be part of what we're trying to do, beloved Father. Lord, encourage him. God, encourage him toward his family, toward his experience with God. Help him and bless him. Heal and forgive in Jesus' name. Father, touch Brother Bill. May thy spirit be upon Bill this morning. Lord, may Bill be a great warrior also in God this morning. Lord, may he have that great anointing of God in his heart and life. May he stand shoulder to shoulder with us, Father, and help us in the battle of thy kingdom. Oh, Lord, that we may all rejoice together in the day of Jesus. Hallelujah. Father, touch Brother Ron. May he not be troubled. Oh, Ramanda Ramashita, Ramanda Rianda Rabosita, Baranda Rabasai. May he receive the blessings of Jesus. May he receive the love of God. May he receive the instruction, God, that he needs this morning. Help him, Lord, as he puts his best foot forward. Lord, in thee, we ask you to help him and lead him. Bless his little family as they labor together with us, Father. May thy spirit be upon Brother Hollis. May he have a drive, Lord, like he's never had before. May he shake himself, Lord, from the state of slumber that Satan would try to cause to come over him. May he be wide awake in Jesus. Lord, full of perseverance, full of drive, full of the holiness of God. Let him be a great, mighty light. Break the yoke in Jesus' lovely name, Father. Father, touch Brother Paul Stone. Give him a spirit of perseverance, Father. Hear from heaven. Lord, you said you'd look down from heaven and heal our land if we'd call upon you. We call upon the name of Jesus this morning. God, that you might do something, that you might heal this morning. Heal Paul. Father, deliver him in Jesus' name this morning. Father, touch this sister. May thy spirit be upon her this morning. May thy blessings be with her. May her and her companion unite together. Jesus, help her to continue the work, Lord, that she's doing, Father, as she labors with her companion. Father, in that which I believe is inspired of thee, in Jesus' precious name. Touch this sister, Father, in the name of Jesus. May she labor with her companion. May they be found together in the wonderful name of Jesus. Bound together in the unity of the Lord. Wake Johnny from his state of slumber, Father. Help him before it's too late, in Jesus' name. Touch the little one, in Jesus' precious name. Touch Sister Navi. May the great Spirit of God be upon Sister Navi. Father, may she shine as a light. May her sins be forgiven. May she be a great light, Holy Father, that all the world may see the light of her and Brother Al Gonzalez. Father, as in the past, may it so shine now, even greater. Father, greater than ever, heal the body, forgive the sins, bless them financially, physically, spiritually, Father. Father, bless their children. Save them, forgive them, Lord. Help them and heal them in the wonderful name of Jesus. Father, bless this little one in the lovely name of Jesus. Father, bless Sister Louise. May thy spirit be upon her. May the power of God be upon her. The name of Jesus. Let the light so shine that other men may see. Father, our good work, and glorify the Father which is in heaven. Father, touch Sister Darlene. May the Spirit of the Lord be upon Darlene and her concern about her family. Let it be, Father, that you reach down. Oh, God, help that family in Jesus' name. Father, as we pray for this sister, may thy Spirit be upon her. Let the glory of God come down upon her. May thy greatness be with us. Father, heal, forgive. Lord Jesus, may her spirit be awakened. Lord God, for when they awoke, they saw your glory. May her spirit be awakened. Oh Lord, even as Lazarus was awakened, may she be awakened, Lord, to see the glory of God in Jesus' name. Touch the little ones in Jesus' precious name. As we lay hands upon them, touch them in Jesus' precious name, Heavenly Father. Father, touch the sister as she stands here. Father, in Jesus' name, I pray that your spirit will be upon her. Lord, help her, having done all that she knows to do. Father, you said when we've done all that we can to stand, then stand, being strong in the power of your might, giving glory unto God, knowing that you hear and that you see. Father, that you reward every effort, that you're not forgetful of our labor in the Lord. Oh, God, touch her in Jesus' name this morning. Touch this little one in Jesus' name. Father, touch this sister. Father, she desires to walk on with you. She desires to understand. Open up her understanding, Jesus. Open up her understanding. Make her to understand. You will make her to understand, Heavenly Father. I know that you will. Heal her body. Strengthen her. Give her a desire to go on with Jesus. Father, bless Brother John in the wonderful name of Jesus. Inspire him. Speak to him in the lovely name of Jesus Christ, the Son of God. Stir him to a vision such as he's never known. Never in all of his life, Father, may he receive that vision. Lord, may his spirit be awakened. Oh God, in the name of Jesus. Father, bless Brother Arthur. May he also, Father, hear that great call from heaven. Father, for everyone that can hear your voice in that day, you said they shall live. Lord, everyone that can hear your voice, may Brother Arthur hear your voice this morning, that he may live, Heavenly Father. Oh God, touch Brother Atlee this morning. May he be blessed, Lord, for that which he hath done in the past. Standing with us, Father, may he be blessed in that you're not forgetful of our labor in the Lord. But may he be in the future even as diligent, as brightly shining as he hath been in the past, as concerned, Father, as loving, as kind, as tender, Lord, as faithful, as loyalty, Lord, shows forth in his life. Let him be a light that the world may see his light. I ask you to heal him, bless him physically, spiritually, financially. Bless his companion, Lord. Bless his little family. Save his children here in Jesus' name this morning. Father, bless Brother Denny this morning. May the great Spirit of God be upon Denny. May he receive an inspiration. May he receive a new portion of thy light and blessing. Lord God, stir him in his soul. Give him a drive. Lord, awaken him, Father, to the glory of God, such as he's never been awakened before. Help him to catch a vision. Help something to happen to him. Oh God, in the wonderful name of Jesus Christ, we ask it. Father, touch Bill this morning. May the Spirit of God rest mightily upon Bill. Lord, let him lift up his hands to heaven. Let him lift up his heart to heaven. Oh God, as he calls upon thee for his heart, for his family, for his loved ones, Father, for the satisfaction of his soul. May the great Holy Spirit fill him, oh God, until he'll have a drive for God. Lord, because of the stripes of Calvary, because of the blood of Calvary, because of the atonement, may he have such an infilling, oh God, such as he's never had before in all of his life, Jesus. Father, bless Michael this morning. May he receive a strength. Lord, this young man that stepped forward to do something for Jesus, I ask of thee, O God, may thy great spirit be upon Michael. Hallelujah, in the name of Jesus, may thy spirit rest upon Michael to bless him and to strengthen him that he might be an inspiration to others. In Jesus' name, Father. Father, bless Dave this morning. May thy spirit be upon David. May the great power of God be with David. Lord, as he attempts to walk with us and help us here, Lord, putting his whole heart in this, Lord, that we're trying to do for thy glory. May David receive encouragement. May he receive strength. May he receive financial blessings, Lord God of heaven. May you spiritually reveal yourself to him in a great way, Father, inasmuch as he's tried so hard to help us here in Jesus' precious name. Father, bless the sister. May the great Spirit of God rest upon her. May her and her companion drive as they never have before. Lord, to see the need of the gospel, Father, and to see how much good already that they have done in their unified effort for Jesus. Father, may they shine as a great light throughout the world. In Jesus' lovely name. Father, I pray this morning that you'd bless Sister Jacqueline. Bless her and her companion. Father, help them to see the good that they're doing, Lord, and the sacrifice and efforts that they're making toward God. Father, may they not forget. May they not become careless. Father, may they not become unconcerned at any time, but realize that the great recompense of reward is just ahead. And Father, that there is a great blessing, there is a great reward for them that walk and labor in the Lord, that walk with thee, Lord, that walk upright before thee. May they be blessed, may they be strengthened in Jesus' lovely name. Father, bless little Shane. I thank you for healing Shane. Oh God, when he was in such bad condition. But I thank you for healing. May you continue to bless him in Jesus' name. Bless the little ones in Jesus' precious name, Father. Bless this precious little child in Jesus' name, Father. May thy great spirit be on this little child in Jesus' name. Bless this mother, dear wonderful God of heaven. Help her to renew her vision in God. May she realize that her companion, Lord, has come back to the bishop of his soul. And may she honor and reverence him and follow him for the salvation of their soul. Lord, in the beauty of the future, the blessings upon them and upon their little ones, that God may again fill her with the Holy Ghost and with the good things of God in Jesus' lovely name, as I feel her faith, Father. Touch this little one in the name of Jesus, I pray thee. Touch Sister Anna, Father. May her spirit go out to thee, and may her faith, Father, that great faith that she's used so many times to meet her needs and for her family. May she use it again and again and never grow weary, never grow discouraged. Father, though the devil may harass her mind, and though the weights may grow heavy and others may stumble and stagger, but may she be as a light steadfast in God, always abounding in the truth. in Jesus' lovely name. Bless her little family and save them in Jesus' name, Father.
With friends,
bless this sister, Father. May your spirit be upon her. Bless her and her companion as they try to do something for thee. May they not lose their vision, but may they be encouraged, Jesus. Father, for they need the courage that you can give them to be able to go on and stand. Bless the family and save the lost in Jesus' name, Father. Father, bless Vicky. May her and Joe continue on. Have mercy upon them, God, and keep them together. Keep them strong. Help her to lift up her faith in God and her courage in God. Lord, for thou art with us in the sixth trouble, and thou art with us in the seventh trouble. And, oh, God, you'll help us in all that we undertake to do. I ask you to bless in Jesus' name. Father, in the name of Jesus, bless our sister. May the Spirit of God be upon her to give her courage, to give her strength, to deliver her, oh, God, from every evil. Father, may the yoke be broken. May she find faith, dear God, and tenderness in God. Lord, may her needs be met physically, spiritually, financially. Hear from heaven in Jesus' name and grant it. Oh, God, touch this sister, Lord, who labors so faithfully at the house in the behalf of Sister Betty. Lord, that's always coming down, trying her best to help my precious wife. Lord, strengthen her, bless her. Lord, may she excel in God. May thy great spirit be upon her. Oh, God, may you heal her, Lord, and be with her in Jesus' name. Father, touch Sister Lynn this morning. May the great spirit of God be upon her. May her and Brother Paul stand together in great strength for God. Bless their little one. Forgive their sin. Hear from heaven, Lord, and heal their lands and help them to be a great unit for us to work with us in Jesus' name, Father. Lord, bless these little ones as I lay my hands upon them. May they be blessed in Jesus' name. Bless the little one, Lord. Bless Brother. Lord, I pray that you'd bless this sister. Lord, and bless the brother. Lord, bless the companion, Lord, as they labor together. Lord, may these people be blessed, oh God. Father, as you see them together laboring with us, trying to do something. Father, you've seen the sacrifice that they made when they first come here to try to do something for God. Lord, trying their best to share that which they had with thee. Remember it and help them in the lovely name of Jesus, Father. Touch the little one, Father, in the precious name of Jesus. Father, touch this sister in the lovely name of Jesus. May this sister and may Tilden, Father, may they unite together, link together in the strong arm of God. And may they be filled with the Holy Ghost. Oh, hallelujah. As I feel the presence of the Holy Ghost right now, may they be filled with the Holy Ghost, dear God. And may they accept thee. The lovely name of Jesus, have your way in Jesus' lovely name. Father, in the wonderful name of Jesus, bless these little ones. Bless Sister Marcy, Father, may she continue with perseverance, standing with Bill, oh dear God, and willing to do the things that they're doing. Father, thou hast magnified them and thou hast blessed them, and you will continue to magnify them, and you'll continue to bless them that they may be a great light, Father, in the community. May it be so. In Jesus' wonderful name. Father, touch Sister Kirk this morning. May your great spirit be upon her. May her and her companion, Father, link together, Lord, in the strong arm of God. May thy spirit be upon them. May thy divine healing be in their bodies, Lord, and may thy love be in their hearts to go with them. Teach them, direct their paths, Father. Show them the way that you would have them to go. Forgive their sins. Save their loved ones in Jesus' name. Father, bless Brother Vince. May the great spirit of God be upon Vince. Father, make him a great light and a great testimony. Father, you know how we love Vince, and I pray in Jesus' name that you'll do something special in Vince's heart. May in Jesus' darling, wonderful name that he find that vision, Lord, that his heart's crying for. Grant unto him the desires of his heart. Hear from heaven in Jesus' name, Father. Father, bless Brother Jimmy. May your spirit be upon Jimmy. Lord, help him to continue to persevere. Lord, He's been such a help to us. May He continue to do that. May not be discouraged, Father. Heal and give strength. May Thy Spirit come down in a magnificent way in the life of Jimmy. I ask it in Jesus' name. Touch his little one in the wonderful name of Jesus, Father. Touch these little ones as we lay hands on them, Father. Touch Brother Mac. May Mac receive a special blessing. Lord, as Mac has turned his heart to Thee to try to do something extra special, may Your Spirit be in his heart. May he have that drive. May he not grow discouraged, but may he find that blessing that he needs. I ask it in Jesus' name. May Brother Jerry find the blessing that he needs, Heavenly Father. Lord, as we lay hands on these people, may some great spiritual blessing, Father, be with them. May some spiritual strength be with them. In the name of Jesus this morning, Lord, to find their way in God, I ask it in Jesus' lovely name. Father, bless Tommy. May Tommy be renewed, God, in Your Spirit. May the covenant of God be renewed in his heart. May the power of God be in his life. May something special take place in his life. Lord, we ask in Jesus' name that You do something special for Tommy. Father, bless Brother Richard. May the great Spirit of God come down upon Richard. Lord God, I ask, may the meal barrel, dear God, never give out. Oh, Heavenly Father, bless him physically, bless him spiritually, bless him financially, Lord. God, as they have pushed themselves, Lord God, aside to serve Thy table, Lord, to stand with me and to help me. Oh, God, may they receive extra strength and extra blessing this morning, Jesus, I ask of Thee. Do something special for Richard in the wonderful name of Jesus. Father, bless Brother Grady this morning. May the great, mighty power of God be upon Grady. May the Spirit of God be upon him. May his ministry be great and mighty, Father. Oh, dear wonderful God, give him the love of God, the mighty power of God in his life. Father, to heal, to deliver. Father, to reach those that are unreached, Father. Not only here, but around the world. May it be so. Bless his family. Save his little ones, Father. Bless his companion. Help him not to be discouraged, but to take faith and courage in Jesus' precious, wonderful name. Lord, bless Brother Fontaine. May Brother Fontaine be blessed. Help him not to lean to his own understanding, Father. When the aggravating thoughts, God, that come to him to try to deceive him, oh Lord, when they harass him, may he turn aside from those thoughts. And may he not pursue those things that's unlike Jesus, Father, but may he turn away from them. And may his faith be in the Word of God and the ministry of Christ. May everything that he does be based upon the Word of God, that he might find that wonderful fountain that's open in the house of David. Father, bless Sister Dale this morning. May the great Spirit of God be upon Dale. Lord, as she seeks a proof of God in his great Spirit in her life to heal and to forgive, to fill with the Holy Ghost, Father. Oh, dear God, to anoint her hands. Father, that she might play, dear wonderful God, in a way such as she's never played in all of her life. May the anointing of God be upon her, Lord, and upon her companion and upon her family. Oh, Lord, that she might be alive. A great and a mighty life. May the strength of the Holy Spirit be in her and be with her. Keep them safe as they go on their journey and bring them back saved. Let them be a light in the lovely name of Jesus Christ, Holy Father. Father, bless this sister. May Your Spirit be upon her this morning. Father, help her to understand. May the great Spirit of God come down. And dear God, in her heart this morning, may You call to her, Father, and may You awake her spirit, even as You called to Lazarus, Father, way down deep into the earth. Lord, and the voice rang out to Lazarus. Oh, God, call to her spirit. Call to her and awaken her spirit from deep sleep and slumber. Lord, let her hear the voice. For You said, everyone that heareth My voice, they shall live. Call in Jesus' name. Hallelujah. Touch Sister Frances this morning in the name of Jesus. Help Sister Frances to continue to be a light, Father. Lord, she's been such an inspiration, such a light, such a blessing, God. May she not weaken. Father, may she not falter. May she have courage. May she take strength. Let her be a great light, Father, with a great perseverance. I ask in the name of Jesus Christ this morning that You bless her and heal her. Father, bless this sister. Help her and her companion, Father, to stand together in the name of Jesus Christ. May they be a great light, Father. Bless their little one, Jesus. Lord, help them to link together with us, Father, to work with me and Betty here in the wonderful things of God. Help them to have a vision such as they've never had in all of their life, Jesus.
Wonderful.
Hallelujah. Father, bless this sister. May the great Spirit of God be upon her. May the blessing of God be with her. Lord, bless her and her companion. Father, as they labor so faithfully, Father, Lord, give Stevie strength, Lord, as he tries to publish the gospel. Lord, bless his little children and don't let nothing happen to them. Father, watch over them and keep his companion safe. Help her to understand him and to love him and to realize how great he is in the sight of God. May they be linked together. Oh God, in the name of Jesus, for your service, I ask it in Jesus' name. Touch this little one, Father, in the name of Jesus. Father, may this sister link herself together, Lord, with Brother Kim. The determination that he's got, Father, to stand for thee and to do something to help the kingdom of God. Oh, Lord, it will bring great blessings to them and bring great blessings, Father, to their little ones. Father, may thy Spirit be upon them. Help them, Jesus. When they're discouraged, give them strength and help them in the name of Jesus Christ, the Son of God. Hallelujah.
Well, we'll walk.
Praise
those
God.
Streets of gold.
Father,
we'll
bless
walk
our brother
those
Taylor.
Streets of gold.
Bless brother
we'll
Taylor.
Walk those streets
bless
of
brother
gold.
Taylor.
Today,
oh, Ramando Ramashida Barianda Rabasida Rando Rabasai. Father, strengthen brother Taylor. Lord, bless him and Sister Linda, Lord, who has labored with us through these years. May they be granted a special blessing in life. Lord, a special strength
and
life. Lord, to raise them up, to heal them, to make them alive throughout the world. Make them strong in spirit and in faith, Father. Help them to work with us and labor with us even the more fervently. In the lovely name of Jesus Christ, the Son of God. Father, bless Brother Ted. May he have a new vision, Father. May something great take place in Ted's life. Hear from heaven, God, and may thy Spirit be upon Ted in a mighty way this morning. I ask you to heal him. I ask you to be with him. I ask you to touch him for your glory. Father, bless Ted financially. Bless Ted physically. Father, bless Ted spiritually. Bless him in the name of Jesus. Bless his family. Save his family. Touch Woody, Father, this morning, wherever Woody's at. Touch Woody and his family. Oh, God, in Jesus' name. Hallelujah. Praise God. Don't you love Jesus? Can we sing another verse of that, David? Don't you love Jesus? We'll overcome, we'll overcome, we'll overcome someday. If in my heart I can believe, we'll overcome someday. We'll walk on streets of gold. Walk on streets of gold. We'll walk on streets of gold someday. If in my heart I can believe, we'll walk on streets of gold someday. How have you loved Jesus this morning? How have you really believed that you're going to overcome? You believe you're going to overcome? I felt like God wanted us to minister to the needy this morning. And I felt like God done something this morning. I really feel he done something this morning. You know, by the laying on of hands, you impart spirit to people. You impart faith to people. You impart strength. You impart gifts to people. By the laying on of hands, you receive the Holy Ghost many times. A lot of times I lay my hands on people and I feel them receiving the Holy Ghost. Many times gifts or virtue goes out from my body when I pray for people. I feel virtue. Sometimes I've been with God and the Lord has placed virtue there. And when I pray for people, I might pray for five and just I might feel a touch from God. But don't feel anybody really drawing virtue. But after a while, I lay my hands on somebody and it was just like you hooked electric wire and they'll just continually draw the virtue of God, just draw the virtue of God into their body. You know, and that person is getting something from God. They're getting the power and blessing and Spirit of God into their life to bring them healing, to bring them salvation, to bring them the Holy Ghost, and to bring them revelation and understanding in Jesus Christ. Every bit of the spiritual strength that you get from God, that means that you've got more to overcome. That is the power of God in your life to overcome and to resist the evils that close in on you or to push back the darkness. It's like lighting a little candle and washing the globe of a dirty lamp. You understand what I'm saying? Some of you are getting something from God. All of you, I believe, are getting blessed. But some of you are getting something special from God because you're coming with faith and you're coming with confidence. You're coming to believe, not out of routine, but you're coming out of sincerity. And you're coming to ask God to do something for you. If you continue to do that, then you're going to be blessed of God. The Bible said they came and they were blessed. And if you come that way, you will be blessed and you'll be glad that you came. You love Jesus? We sing the song, everything's going to be all right. How many of you believe it's going to be all right? Can we sing it together? Everything's going to be all right. Everything's going to be all right. Since Jesus came and saved my soul, everything's going to be all right. Everything's going to be all right. Everything's going to be all right. Since Jesus came, save my soul, everything's gonna be all right. Oh, let us praise Him. Oh, let us praise Him. Can you praise Him? We'll praise Him in the morning. Praise Him at the noontime. Praise Him. Oh, praise Him. Praise Him when the sun goes down. Oh, sometimes I feel like heaven's come down. Heaven's come down. Heaven's come down. Oh, sometimes I feel like heaven's come down. Heaven's come down on me.